God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to you, coming from God our Father through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing is the same text as from last week, mining a little different, a little more deeply into the text, Mark 14, 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them again sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." These are the words of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, I love God's design and his plan for the safety of his creatures. Take the cottontail rabbit, perfectly camouflaged for brushy terrain, except for that counterintuitive cottontail. Unless you are the one chasing the rabbit and you are fixated on that little spot of white, and when you snap at the tail end of the rabbit, you snap on air. Take the rat snake. Though not poisonous like the rattlesnake, it likes to rattle its tail. And so when we see one and it rattles its tail, we jump back and we think, "Oh, fella, who are you?" And God's smart with his plan to protect the rat snake. Now, some of God's creatures, for some of them, there is strength and safety in numbers. Take the bait fish. Just the name tells you their dilemma. Bait fish. Smaller fish designed in large part to be food for larger fish. How to cope? How to survive? Well, the children among us, their solution is much like something you do every day. It's called school. And just as for you, so for them, it has less to do with the place and more to do with activity. Strength in numbers. As foraging is easier with more eyes watching, and supposedly swimming is more efficient. Safety in numbers, protection from the predator that has trouble focusing in on one flash of silver in the midst of thousands of flashes of silver. Earthly dangers needed a battle plan, and God the Creator provided them. So it is with spiritual dangers. We need a battle plan. And this afternoon, our Jesus, again through his experience in the garden, will model for us a spiritual battle plan with this thought. Spiritual danger needs a battle plan, never alone and always aware. "It is not good for the man to be alone," said the Lord God in that first garden. And so he made woman. You see, God's intent for us has always been community. It has always been relationships. And so we find Jesus as an influencer in the kingdom of God, gathering 12 to be his disciples and to go with him to his cross and beyond. And then being fully human, there were three who were apparently near and dear to him, best buds, Peter, James, and John. either by virtue of personality or maybe bloodline or maybe both. But being the leader of the 12, Jesus began to teach them and to sharpen their relationship with their most important friend in life, and that is their Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. He schooled them in love for God and in love for each other. And he taught them the words of God, emphasizing for them that God was their most important friend in this journey of life and in this world. For without the heart and the voice of God in our ears and in our heart, we are wired to think that we are created to live in the here and now, and we can forget that God made us for an eternal relationship with him. And so, the importance of Christian community that our Jesus models for us. And in that Christian community, Jesus modeled responsibility for each other, calling each other out when we fall into sin, warning each other when we are starting to believe the lies of the devil, being there for each other and praying for each other in the struggles of this life. In the second garden, we see Jesus modeling for us how to put into action this plan for Christian community. Now, if one of your pastors was ever in the hospital, would you be able to pick up the phone and call his wife and say, "Hey, could I stop up at the hospital and visit your husband and share with him the comfort of God's word?" And if she said, "Yes, it'd be awesome," would you be able to do that? To go and share a word of comfort with your pastor? Because if you could, that would be amazing. That would be awesome. For Jesus models that kind of Christian community when he is in the garden, as the perfect teacher needed the love and support of Christian community. Jesus models for us that Christian community is a mutual endeavor. Me for you, you for me, him for us. Whether it's calling out, whether it's warning, encouraging, comforting, praying, that's what community, Christian community, is all about. Now, as true man facing the reality of our sin and our curse with its horrific punishment, Jesus planned to draw sympathy and support from his disciples, especially the three, Peter, James, and John. He took Peter, James, and John. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Stay here. Keep watch." As true man, personally in need of love and support, weighed down with the ugliness and the burden of our sin, he put in place his battle plan to draw on community. Now, do you have a spiritual battle plan? How many of us are list makers? A few of us, probably more than are raising their hands. How many of us right now have a grocery list on our phone or in our purse just waiting for the next foray into Walmart? How many of us have a financial to-do list? Got to get that real will written once and for all. Got to take out a Roth IRA. How many of us at home on our computer have a list for a regular vacation called camping? Some of us do. But how many of us have a list in preparation for the spiritual battles that we know are coming? A list that might look like this: be rich in the word for strength and nourishment. Bring Jesus along daily for the course, for the journey of life. Seek his voice as naturally as you look down at your cell phone. Imagine that. Jesus, should I have a third beer or not? And if you said that aloud in front of the bartender, it might make for an interesting outreach witnessing opportunity. Surround myself with godly people. who know me? Who know my weaknesses? Who will call me out? Who will warn me? Who will encourage me? Who might even carry me if I needed that? And be diligent in being there for others if you are part of their spiritual plan to deal with danger in this life. It's important to be diligent if you and I are actually part of someone else's spiritual battle plan to deal with the dangers of this life. Our first daughter was born in October of 1986. She was born on her due date, though she had tried mightily many times to come prematurely. But she came on her due date. Now, guys, childbirth is and always will be a daunting thing for our wives. It is a physical, emotional, and spiritual hurdle that they need us to be there for, God willing. And what is our job during that time to support her? In the end, whatever she needs from us at that time. As the nurses are flying in and out of the room, and as the world keeps spinning, doing its thing, and she is there. My job was to help with breathing, which I thought I was breathing pretty well that day. And my job was to supply the mint lifesavers when she needed them, when her mouth got dry. Well, it was October, Saturday afternoon, college football, Badgers playing Iowa on the TV right there. So I was watching football, breathing, and eating lifesavers. And in the moment of truth, I muffed it. Honey, can I have a lifesaver? And no lie, I had eaten all of them in my self-focused, thoughtless way. And today, it's still a topic of conversation in our house if someone brings it up. In a similar way, Jesus came. Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you have kept watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus had called, gathered, and trained them for that moment. He had preached. He had quoted the prophets. He had taught with memory hooks called parables. He had sent them out in twos to learn how to support each other and care for each other. He had warned them that they would fall away that very night. And now, he hadn't asked them for a lifesaver in the midst of his struggles. He had asked them to support his life in his struggles. Stay here and keep watch with me. Whether due to fatigue alone or to complacency or just plain dullness spiritually, when he needed them most, they muffed it. But in that moment, Jesus models for us a most important principle for us to remember in our spiritual battle plan, and that is this: always be aware that our Father in heaven is always aware of us, of our needs, and of our hearts. 3 times Jesus went in prayer to his Father. 3 times he came back to find them asleep. 3 times he asked his Father, take this cup from me if possible. And 3 times he asked his Father for the strength to accept and to seize his Father's will. The Spirit of God says to us, you have not because you ask not. Jesus asked 3 times, and he got his answer. He received help from his Father. There was no other way to atone for our sin of self-centeredness, our sin of neglect of our love for his Father and our love for each other. There was no other way to atone for the sins of the world, the sins of you and me. There was no other way to punch that free ticket for us to go to heaven except through the blood of Jesus himself. And so Jesus received strength for the struggle. Jesus received strength for the temptations that the adversary had still had coming. Luke tells us the Father sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. And the Father certainly reminded Jesus of the words of the prophets that God would not abandon him to the grave nor let his Holy One see decay, and that he would allow Jesus to see his offspring, his spiritual children, and that the Father would prolong his days and that the will of God would prosper in his hands. Jesus models for us the all-important principle for life and its struggles that we should always be aware that our Father is aware of us and of our needs and of our hearts. And God proved his awareness of our needs by sending his Son to die for the sins of the world. So when our spiritual battle plan flags, when others let us down, when the world isolates us, when we let our Father down, when we sin against him and all seems lost, well, let's remember that our Father is aware of us and of our needs. And in this Christian community, he is the most important member enthroned in love for you and me. The one who always knows us, the one who sent his Son, the one who always forgives, the one who is always present, the one who always hears our prayers. So is our God, how practical is our God then in the struggles of life? Was Jesus there with his spiritual brothers in 1918, for example, in the foxholes of France, day after day and night after night, as the shells never stopped falling, and as home seemed ever so far away? Was Jesus there in the Hilton Hanoi, or Hanoi Hilton, that prisoner of war camp in Vietnam, as men wasted away, as hours became years, and home seemed but a dream? Will Jesus be there in your hospital room when family and friends are at home asleep and you are awake and afraid? Will Jesus be there when we have sinned against our God and we feel estranged from our God? Will he be there? Well, the Father was there for his Son in his struggle, a struggle that you and I cannot even begin to comprehend. But did you notice how Jesus came out of his struggle to face the next? Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Resilient he was, and resilient he is for you and for me. So let us ponder God's design and plan for the safety of his creatures. But know that our God is better than a cottontail, that God is more powerful than a rattling tail. And know that God has designed Christian community to be a school for safety in numbers. But know especially that his forgiveness and his presence are the reality that ultimately will bring us safely home. Amen. Please stand. Let us respond to this word of God with the singing.